straight from the halls of the internet. This is the TSL Podcast, and this is Steve Maeda, and we have an awesome interview for you today with Bill Murphy from Forever Jobless, foreverjobless.com. You people know it. You know all about it. You told me to interview him. He's here. But check this out. If you're interested in somebody who wants an independent lifestyle, to have the freedom to, you know, start your own business, be good with your money, make it work for you, all that sort of stuff, this is something that you're really going to enjoy. I've known Bill for years. I met him when he had one company. Since then, he started three or four companies that are these huge, you know, conglomerates that are bigger than anything I can imagine. But the guy's consistently been able to start from the ground up multi-million dollar companies. So it's a really cool deal. Listen to this interview, pick his brain, go to thesexuallife.com, sign up on my email list, go to foreverjobless.com, read all this stuff, and I hope you enjoy this. What is happening? I'm Steve Maeda. I'm here with Bill Murphy, as well as Daniel, who doesn't say anything. He's just drinking a beer. Okay, so you are the, like, what, founder, owner of foreverjobless.com. I hear, like, a shitload about it. And I was talking to you right when you launched this thing, and I remember you were telling me about all the strategy and all this crazy stuff and, like, how you met these people and, you know, different ideas on networking or whatnot. Or we always have these little talks, like, a year apart, and it's crazy to see it grow because I've had a blog for, I don't know how long, 7 years, and then you have a blog for a year, and it's just like, bam! What's the secret? Anyway, what's your 30-second introduction about yourself?
Yeah, so, yeah, Forever Jobless is my personal blog. I guess 30-second introduction. I'm a former professional poker player. Started a poker training company, Blue Fire Poker. Got into starting e-commerce stores. Started about 20 of them in 2011. And now I'm in the process of starting Ecom Lab, which is a e-commerce training company, showing other people how to get into e-commerce.
And so, like, what inspires you to make these businesses? Because you're also, how old are you?
30.
Oh, you are 30?
Yeah, just turned 30.
Okay.
Well, no, not just turning 31, actually, this next month.
How old were you when I met you?
28? 27, maybe?
Yeah, I almost want to think younger, but I don't really know. I forget the reference point because there's... I just remember we met at an internet marketing meeting in Austin. Austin's kind of like a mecca of internet marketers.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a lot of the guys were like, oh, yeah, this guy and this guy. They were introducing me to tons of different people. But you were talking to Milo and John Herbert, and two good friends of mine. And they're like, you got to meet this guy. And then, you know, we hung out a little bit. And I remember I met up with you afterwards, and I was asking you about stuff with business. And I remember one of the first things you said was like, well, wait a minute. Real business is much different than, like, what a lot of people perceive as internet marketing or kind of like, you know, the quick buck, start your own business type thing.
Right.
You're like, it's very different, but you always have an easy answer, and you're always saying, like, it's very easy to do. And the one thing I like talking to you about this sort of stuff is you always put it really simply. Like, for instance, I made a post about, just a short time ago, about if you're the best, you don't have any competition. Guess who I got that from? But you know, it was from Billy. You didn't see our facial expressions here. But anyway, so what would you say, like, a lot of people emailed about getting involved in business and what they can do to, like, get started. What I hear a lot is, like, man, I don't know what business to start. How do I get started in business? What do you say to a guy like that?
Yeah, I think if people have no experience, I think a lot of people get caught up on, you know, I need to have money. I need to, I got to work for a couple years, get startup capital or whatever it may be. The most important thing people need to do is basically learn. And it sounds weird hearing that, but, you know, the majority of people who start businesses know nothing. And so they just jump into business, do it horribly wrong, and then they don't know who to get advice from. And so they're just getting advice from people who don't really know business either.
Mm.
And so the whole time they're in kind of that startup, you know, aspiring entrepreneur mode where they're just testing stuff out. They're testing stuff out that they heard from, you know, bloggers, internet marketers who don't really know how to make money in business. And so it's, I would spend time reading books from people who have been there, done that. I think the biggest piece of advice I give people when they say, you know, what should I do, or give me a piece of advice on business is learn from those you aspire to be like and ignore everyone else. And I think very few people do that and spend the time finding people who have done what they need to do or done what they want to do. You know, for example, you know, if I want to start, you know, a multi-million dollar company, I don't go to, you know, some blogger who has a WordPress site talking about how to make money and hasn't done anything else before for my information on how to become a multimillionaire. I go to someone who's made millions of dollars and say, okay, this person has done what I want to do. They started, you know, whatever, an internet company, or if it's real estate you want to do, they started a real estate empire. You know, you can go learn from them. You know, read everything they've ever written. You know, listen to anything if they've done podcasts. Go talk to them, whatever it is. And I think, you know, the make money space in general is really, really bad in the sense that, you know, most people don't know who to follow. And so they just take whatever advice is out there. And the thing is, the majority of advice is bad advice or at worst, or at least suboptimal. I mean, it's, you know, if you sat a guy who's never made money in a room of people and was teaching how to make money, he's not going to give you the optimal advice because he has no idea what that is. And so that's the biggest thing is find people, you know, spend the time and make sure you're getting the right advice, and then, you know, learn from them. And I mean, knowledge is way more important than money in the early stages of the game. I think a lot of people are so concerned with, okay, I can get this job or start this business and I think I'll make a little bit more here or there, and it's so irrelevant. You know, if you're going to take a job that's, you know, $20 an hour over $10 an hour, or you can go get a free job with somebody who can teach everything you want to know, go work for free. I mean, it doesn't, you know, once you have the knowledge, money's really irrelevant. You can get money from people once you know what to do. You can find creative ways around it because you'll know how to think in a different way. And so, I mean, really, you know, people want to hear like a specific answer of like, okay, you just go start this business and you'll make this money, but it's not that, you know, it's not that easy, but it's not complicated either. It's just spend time learning. Don't focus on just jumping into stuff. And I'm not necessarily saying, you know, don't get started, don't sit on the sidelines forever, but, you know, get a decent base of knowledge from people who have actually done what you want to do and then get started.
So, like you said, a lot of crazy stuff. Did you want to ask something?
Later on.
So you said a lot of crazy stuff there, but let's actually like back up. I there's a lot of things that I would want to ask you about after that, and like a lot of like light bulbs going off. But what is the benefit of starting a business? Because a lot of these guys, you know, might not know. I mean, for me, I know what I benefit out of it, but what made you want to become an entrepreneur?
I guess the biggest thing is obviously a lifestyle thing, in the sense that you can kind of do what you want, work as many hours as you want, travel when you want, make as much money as you want. And I mean, the biggest thing for me was, you know, I wanted to, you know, live a certain life, and you can't go get a job and be, you know, have a certain life. In terms of, you know, if I start a business, the money I can make is uncapped. You know, I can, you know, maybe it's, you know, it's viewed as risky, right, when you start a business or become an entrepreneur. And but it's actually the opposite. It's substantially riskier to have a job because somebody else controls how much money you make. Somebody else controls kind of where you go in the future. Your upside is extremely capped, where as an entrepreneur, your upside's unlimited. And a lot of people who do business incorrectly, their downside's uncapped. But if you learn business correctly, I mean, there's a way to cap your downside where your risk is limited. So basically being an entrepreneur is... can be very high upside and low downside, where most people think, oh, you just got to be this big gambler and get in and maybe you'll make it, maybe you won't, and you'll be poor if you don't make it, but it's not like that at all. And I think that, you know, why would you want to start a business? Well, you know, if you want to travel, if you want to, you know, have certain things in life, if you want to just kind of not listen to anybody else and do what you want, there's really, I don't know any real downsides to doing it other than, yeah, I mean, a lot of parts of doing a job is easier, but then you just kind of, you know, I feel like the majority of jobs you would just kind of float through life, and you're not really, you know, not really reaching for a lot if you're just kind of letting someone else decide where you go, how much you make, that type of stuff.
And then here's something funny, because your site, Forever Jobless, I remember when you were telling me about that idea, the first conversation I had with you because we were all kind of sitting around. I think we were at like Buffalo Billiards or something. Yeah. We were all just hanging out. And everybody was talking about, like, man, I can't go back to a real job. And I remember, like, nobody knew who, like, I didn't know who you were. I didn't know that you had started X amount of companies. And but I knew John, I knew Milo, but that's all we were talking about. And it's funny because there's nothing wrong with having a job. I mean, if you have a job or whatever, that's cool. Like, and there's security around it. But being able to have your own business, like, there is a freedom in it, and there's also like a element of expression. I feel that's important to me, like to be able to put my message out there and to just always, you know, be promoting what I think. And that's a fucking cool thing. You know what my business is? My business is talking to guys about like sex, socializing, and women too, about, you know, their lives, how to live a better life and be a sexual and social person. That's fucking awesome. That's all I do, man. I have like 16 hours of calls a week talking about philosophy of that shit, and I make a living at that's that is an awesome, awesome thing. And also it's allowed me to live like, you know, all sorts of different lifestyles. But the main thing I think is that like act of self-expression. That being said, how do you come up with the different businesses you're going to do? Like, what inspired you to do Forever Jobless or this e-commerce company you're working on now?
I guess, you know, when I see a need in the market, and if I see a gap, I start researching to see if it's, you know, is it going to be worth my time to start it? Is there really a gap there? Does it just look like there's a gap there? And what I mean is, you know, I'm only starting businesses or, you know, my blog, even for example, if I feel like there's a gap there. I don't, you know, I see a lot of people starting businesses because, you know, one, they think they can make money at it. Two, they, you know, they just want to do it. And those are not reasons you start a business. So for example, the only reason I started Forever Jobless was there's a huge gap in the blogging world. There's, you know, there's like 500 make money blogs and maybe five of those people should be teaching how to make money. There's just not people who should be talking about making money, blogging about making money. So there's a huge need there. And, that's why when you ask me, you know, how do you grow your blog so quick? It's, you know, the only reason I grow it that quick is because, like, one, in the blogging world, there's not really very much competition, and two is, you know, I spend time on like the content. The content is why people read the blogs, and so it's like the other people are so focused on, you know, okay, I got a blog like three times a week, and Google says it likes at least 500 words, and I'm gonna get everybody to kind of spam my blog posts, and I don't spend time on all that stuff. I spend time on where the gap in the market is the content. Like, that's, you know, the content is poor in the entrepreneurial and make money blogging space. So I spend all my time where the gap is, and you know, anyone can spam blog posts lots of times on Twitter and lists and whatever. But, if the content's bad, it's not, you know, number one, that's, you know, people are not going to stay and read it. But number two, it can't compound. So for example, when I put a post out, it's, you know, I expect it to reach a certain number of people, whether through, you know, the people who now subscribe or, you know, other people sharing it or whatever. But what happens is because I spent all my time on the content, it compounds, like the marketing compounds. So in other words, if I told you, hey, I put a post up, Steve, check it out.
Right.
If you really like it, and I put a lot of work into them so that I hope people who read it get value out of it, then they're going to share it. And so everyone who reads my stuff turns into a marketer, where the other people are spending all their time trying to market stuff that doesn't, it shouldn't be marketed.
Which is actually something you told me years ago. You were like, if you have the best, just give it away for free, which you hear a lot of people say, but I think you really, really spend time on making sure it is the best and in a unique, you know, venue or topic theme.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the same, like with business stuff, it's like the e-commerce training site, we're starting Ecom Lab. It's, you know, I didn't start that business because I was like, hey, I just want to make money, you know, teaching people how to make money with e-commerce. It's not, you know, you don't start businesses like that. But I started because there's a huge gap in the market. I knew when I started in e-commerce, it was very hard to get all the information I needed. I didn't know where to go. I just found myself Googling everything to try and figure out what I needed to do. Had a friend I could call who was in e-commerce. But if I didn't have my friend, I mean, maybe I wouldn't have started, or maybe it would have taken me much longer. So there's a huge need there. And then I think it was, August of last year, I put out that like the e-commerce blog post, how to get lucky in e-commerce, and it just gave four stories on, you know, four different ways I've made money in e-commerce, and got like 100 emails or something over, you know, the next X amount of weeks, and my blog was like 3 weeks old at the time, and so I was like, okay, clearly there's an even bigger need than I thought here. I mean, I knew there's a need. I thought about doing it for a while, and that kind of pushed me over the edge to, okay, like, clearly there's enough need where I should probably look into starting this. And then, you know, did due diligence, called people in the industry, looked around, looked at the marketing, saw how hard it would be to market, and decided to jump in. And so I didn't, you know, I didn't start it because I wanted to do that business. I started it because the market needed it. And so most people do it the opposite. They think, okay, somebody's making money in whatever it may be, ebooks in, you know, real estate or ebooks in make money or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they say, I'll do that too. But they're not focused on the customer. They're focused on themselves. So then they learn, like, okay, like, let me learn the latest spam techniques to, like, get as many people to buy my stuff as possible. And then, like, hopefully I'll make a bunch of money.
This is, like, the shittiest thing about having an online business is that when you go and look for resources, all you see is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And people get obsessed with it, man.
Yep.
Like, it becomes kind of like, you ever know one of those, like, self-help junkies? There's internet marketing junkies that just follow everybody around, and they get all into it, and it becomes like this weird culture. And the thing is like, not everybody's making money. There's people making money, but man, a lot of times I'm skeptical. I'm like, really, are you, or do you have an inheritance? You know?
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to kind of determine who's doing what and what's happening. And it's really interesting. So you bring it all back to quality.
Yeah. It's if you, you know, I wouldn't want to launch something unless I either A, had the best product. Like, there was no question this was needed, or B, you know, filled a gap that wasn't there. So whether it's like a sub niche in the market that's not being covered off currently that's needed, or, you know, oftentimes like a combination of the two. So, you know, for example, if, you know, I don't know, just off the top of my head, if you know, for example, real estate's a big niche, but, you know, it's probably pretty hard to go make the best real estate product. But, you know, maybe there was like, you know, how to, you know, maybe a sub niche is, you know, how to make money flipping homes in Austin. Like, maybe that's just totally uncovered. Maybe you only want to make X amount, and the market's big enough to do that. You could fill the need, offer value. So that'd be like filling a gap in the market, but you wouldn't, you know, try and compete with the whole, you know, make money in real estate type crowd. But, and again, I don't think most people should not be doing, informational products. Like, most people who are launching businesses, like from the internet marketing community, they all think, okay, what's like the make money product or informational product I should make? But, you know, no, those people, majority of them should not be making make money or informational products, because they're not going to make the best one, because they haven't done it in a certain way yet. They haven't achieved success in it. And so I think most people should look at filling a real need in the market, instead of, you know, what can I sell? Like, that's most people who get into business think, what can I sell, rather than like, okay, what do people need? And so it's a reverse thinking. And so I think, I think that's the biggest flaw.
It's kind of funny, because there's many different entrepreneur groups that I've, you know, looked into or whatever. And it just hasn't resonated. There's very few people that I'm like, ah, which you're one of them. And I'm like, oh man, I love what you have to say. But, the thing is that when I'll go to some of those like meetups or even join their courses or whatever, you get this interesting, like, kind of like mindset of people where it's like, all right, well, sell this to your friends. We'll sell, you know, and it's kind of like, there was a guy who I was talking to from one of those groups, and he was having some trouble with his business or whatever. And he was doing stuff. He's doing something that he could totally make money off of. He has like, you know, get in shape and massage therapy and all sort of stuff. And he's like, man, I've been doing it for a long time, 15 years. I'm like the best in a very dense population of the U.S. And I'm like, man, then you should have no problem. Like, yeah, no problem. Even being the best with word of mouth alone, you should have a constant influx of people. And you don't need to be like one of the main things that I guess we would learn in our entrepreneurial stuff is like, we'll go out there and sell to people that you know. And it's like, man, you know, I mean, yeah, you got to know how to sell. You got to be in business. I think for guys asking about like a early business technique or strategy. It's like, man, you got to be, your number one thing is to get in business. That's from my standpoint, but maybe I should go back on the knowledge stuff because I make a lot of mistakes. But you know, it's like get in business. But a lot of the times it's like, no, man, sell to whoever you can. And then you lose the whole, like that runs out. You deplete your resources. You probably piss off your friends. It caps after a while. It's not a sustainable marketing strategy. And it just builds like this weird culture where it's like access your greed and that's how you're going to like kick ass and live the American dream. So it's kind of a weird thing. I'll ask you this. How did you find your mentors? Because you know a lot of people. Like you've managed to, from what you've told me, make friends with some of the best guys. You know, like when you wanted to learn SEO, when you wanted to learn whatever type writing stuff. You know, you went and met all these different people, what, Tim Ferriss, Neil Strauss. You're always like, why don't you just go hang out with Tucker Max in Austin? I'm like, because Billy, I don't know him. I don't see him walking out of restaurants like you. But so how do you build that network of people? How do you find a mentor to follow? That sort of stuff. Like, where do you start there?
I mean, really, it's just, I started way back in the day, I guess, being on forums. I was on Rich Dad forums way back in the day, and I was like, I don't know, 20, 21. And basically just read posts from everyone. And at the time, you know, I was going through the same struggles I see everybody else go through. I didn't know who to follow, didn't know who to read. You know, half the guys I was reading stuff from, you know, I didn't know if it was good or not. And then they'd try and pitch it on the latest MLM, and I'd be like, okay, like, probably doesn't add up. Like, this guy shouldn't need to sell me something.
It's that same, like, kind of.
Yeah, so it was the same back in the day. And even worse, probably back then, there were so many MLMs and all that stuff. And but finally I found, you know, a couple guys that I thought, okay, like, this sounds pretty legit. This guy doesn't seem to be needing to sell me anything. And, you know, he's, you know, the guys who are posting good information. So what I would do is I would literally, you know, read every single post they'd ever written. So if guys had like 2,000 posts, I'd just stay in for the weekend and like read everything. And so then what I would do is I would send them like very specific questions. And so, you know, those guys probably got a bunch of PMs from people and, you know, probably got annoying, but I wasn't sending them a normal email. You know, I wasn't saying like, hey, teach me how to make money, or like, hey, how do I make $1 million in real estate? You know, I would send them an email that says like, hey, this post you made on like January 3rd of last year, like I had a very specific question. Here's what I wanted to know. Why did you say this? Like, why couldn't it be like this?
And yeah.
And so I got responses from a lot of those people because they saw like, okay, I'm clearly putting in the work and reading and doing all that stuff. And,
Dude, you've told me this before, but this actually makes a lot of sense just in my industry. People give me a lot of questions or whatever. People might even hire me.
Yeah.
But the ones who get the most attention and get the best results are the ones who are the best students.
Yeah.
And man, that's like what you're like. I never really connected it in that way, but that's like a big philosophy of mine when I'm like teaching people, like learn how to be a good student, learn how to be a good customer, like even at a restaurant or something or whatever club you go to or places that you like to go to, like make sure that place works for you because it's meant to work for you.
Yeah.
But you're kind of saying that that's how you made your intros and broke the ice. I could totally see from that angle how that would.
Yeah, I'm always really surprised. So I'll both through my blog and, you know, I'm on some forums. You know, so I'll get a lot of emails and PMs from people saying like, hey, can you coach me? Can you mentor me? Can I work for you for free? And, you know, just kind of be around and see what you're doing. But, you know, every one of those emails is like, here's all the things you can do for me. And like, they're asking like, here's what I want to know. Here's what I want to learn. And they're just asking me to like, you know, just spend lots of time, you know, telling them things so they can learn. And, you know, I got one email, I got one PM, like, I guess it was a year and a half ago from a guy on a forum, and he wrote me an email, like a big email, saying he wanted to, you know, kind of have me mentor him, work for me for free. And it was basically like, here's all the things, here's all my skills, and here's the ways I can help you. And so he didn't pin it out to like all the things he wanted. Like, it was clear, like, he wants to learn. And so, but like, here's, you know, I have design skills, I have copywriting skills. By the way, like, here's an example of my work I've done. Here's a reference. Like, so this guy was like, clearly knew my stuff, clearly knew, you know, he'd read my post cause I've written, you know, on forums before that, like, hey, if you want to contact someone, here's the stuff you do. And he was clearly following it. And so I knew he knew what he was doing. And, you know, I responded and say, hey, look, like, you know, I don't really know if I need help, but like, you know, give me an example of, you know, and I asked for more detail. And he sent me like, you know, one or two really long detailed, like, here's the things I can do. I'm sure I can help you. Like, what, like, I'll do whatever it takes. And like, did some calls with him. And I'd never done this with someone before. And so I didn't really know, like, I didn't, you know how it would go. I didn't know if I wanted to like be working with someone, didn't really know. And so I did multiple calls and almost like tried to talk him out of it. Like, hey man, like, I don't really know what I'm going to have you doing. Like, I didn't have a specific thing for him at the time. I wasn't working on a specific project that I needed him for. And, I didn't want someone to come work there and kind of get, you know, you figure someone's really excited about something at first. And then like, they think, oh, I'm working for free. It's not that fun. Like, you know, whatever it may be. And so I kind of wanted to avoid like a situation that would become like that. And, you know, finally I talked to him many times and like almost tried to, you know, sell him off of it. It's like, yeah, I don't really know if you're going to like it and like all that stuff. And finally he was like, yeah, like I really want to do it. And so I was like, okay, well, like I'd probably want you to like move to Austin if you wanted to do it. And like, I'd probably want it for like, we'd start talking about time frames. I said, I'd probably want it for a longer term because if I'm going to take time to like, you know, mentoring a bunch of stuff, it would, and then you would leave and it would kind of be, right. it would not be valuable for me because I'd just teach you a bunch of stuff and then you'd leave and then I'd have to find someone to like else to get, you know,
replace
to
you
benefit. Yeah. And replace you for. So, and so he said he still wanted to do it. Was interested. And so his name was Mike and he worked here for, close to a year and went really well. And you know, I talked to him, I said, you know, did you, you know, I would always ask him like, are you getting value out of this? Cause it's hard for me to tell, you know, like a lot of,
yeah,
you know, I'm not necessarily like mentoring him every day. He's just kind of, he's involved in all the projects that I'm doing. You know, every, you know, even things like every blog post before I put it out, like he's, you know, he's seen a bunch of my drafts from like all my unwritten posts. He's, you know, goes over that stuff. He, you know, we talk business ideas that I'm working on and all that stuff. So I had no idea though, if, I don't know if it's,
yeah, yeah,
he's getting value because like, I'm, you know, lots of times I'm just asking him to help me on stuff. And, turns out, you know, he was happy, got value out of it. And I definitely got value from him. I mean, for people who read my posts, I mean, he's did everything from like, I mean, helped design the blog. He, you know, makes all the images on the blog. You know, he goes through every post with me to help, edit all the posts to make sure, you know, I constantly make errors in my posts. And so he's constantly, going over them with me and all that. And so it was mutually beneficial. And I didn't know if it ever, you know, it was something I'd never thought about doing. And so, but yeah, I mean, that kind of got off on a long track on that, but basically, yeah, I mean, it's, I think the initial question or topic we were talking about is people that,
yeah, you can like look up to and find guidance.
Yeah. How to find it.
What you described is probably one of the most important things that you can, if you want to learn something, that is the most important concept. And like, okay, so with like my philosophy of TSL, I say like the two most important values you can have is to assert yourself, put yourself out there, learn how to do it in the best way, be yourself, put yourself out there, yeah, but also elicit other people's qualities, and then you can build connections, rapport, seduction, whatever. Yeah. So for a social dynamic or interacting with people, I think those are fundamental things. How do I put myself out there? How do I elicit something with somebody else, some sort of value? But what is so fundamentally important in just life skills is like, how do I communicate with people so that I can learn something? And man, I mean, this is something which I always thought was interesting with anything, man, like martial arts or something that I was into. I was like naturally motivated towards it. For some reason, I didn't need like this massive amount of motivation. I would ask somebody for help and I would do what they would say. And yeah. And it was clear that I was a fan of theirs.
Right.
I wasn't like bullshitting. I didn't go and say, to, you know, like my jiu-jitsu professor, like, hey, look, you know, I'm really into your stuff. I followed you all, like, blah, 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 blah. I like these techniques, but now show me how to do this right. Like, yeah, I didn't like tell him what to do. And it's almost like a lot of times people will come at you with like a checklist of stuff that they want.
Yeah.
And then this obvious front that they're fans of yours. But then there's somebody, and this is the thing, maybe I shouldn't talk about this, because this is where it stops becoming a monetary value system and it starts to become like a real human dynamic of where it's like, man, I'll work with this guy and show him whatever. If he's doing it, fuck, if I tell you how to do something, like how to connect and communicate with people, and you're willing to go out there and do it, yeah. I don't have to break it down for you. I don't have to fucking hold your hand or whatever. You're actually going out there and doing it and bettering your life in a way that I wouldn't do myself because you're a unique individual. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's something that you've always talked about. And that's something that I kind of learned naturally from stuff that I was inspired towards. But literally every entrepreneur I know and that I've worked with, and that's one of the benefits of having this job, if they're successful, they can do that. You know,
yeah.
they're the guys, it's sad, they're the guys that have the money, but I end up teaching, you know, on just this like, well, you know, let's just meet up and talk and shoot the shit. And, you know, I'll just end up teaching them at no cost after, you know, a certain relationship of working with them. And they get like the most out of it.
Yeah.
So they get the best fucking deal. It's, yeah. it's crazy. So I don't know. That is a life skill, which is fundamental. And yeah. if you want something, like, be a fan, be a good customer, be somebody that, you know, truly likes it and show that.
Yeah. I think that's the thing is you're dead on in it. You know, the people that show they're committed to taking an effort and like basically being a student to, you know, not to you necessarily or me, but basically just to whatever they're trying to learn, and they put in the work, that makes me want to help people. Like I wouldn't have started a blog if I wasn't interested in helping people. Like I'm not even monetizing, you know, Forever Jobless. And it's, you know, you get a lot of emails and it's basically, you know, you can sum up a lot of emails like, hey, basically just, you know, it's almost like they prefer you to just put money in their bank account for them. And instead of like, you know, they're not, you know, they don't ask you questions. It's, you know, you can tell they haven't put in any work with some of the questions because, you know, for example, you know, somebody will make a really basic, you know, forum post or something, and it's clear they've never done any research or anything. And I'll give a little bit of feedback and say, hey, here's where you should focus. And they'll either, you know, PM me or respond. And it's just a response that shows they haven't done any work, and they have this long list of questions like, okay, what do I do here? What do I do here? And it's like, not to equate myself to someone like this, but for example, like if you wanted to be, you know, a professional basketball player or something, right?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't go to Michael Jordan as your first person and say, okay, like just got my first pair of basketball shoes. Okay, Michael Jordan, like give me an hour of your time and show me how to get to the NBA. Like, cause clearly like you're insulting, like, okay, like you've never put any work in, like you've never done anything. So like you should, you know, go learn the basics, put some time in, learn it a little bit, and maybe you would go get advice from a junior high coach, and then like put in a year of work, and then like maybe talk to a high school coach. Yeah, I mean but that's the way most aspiring entrepreneurs are going to people. You know, they go to people who have had a certain amount of success, and they're basically like, you know, going to them and saying, okay, you've spent like years and years and like dedicated tons of time to learning this. Now I'd like to skip all that work. Just tell me what to do. And that's essentially what they're doing in a lot of those emails. And it's just, so it's kind of like, so that people can see what it looks like from the other perspective. It's like, you know, they don't know, like, it's not as easy as an answer. If you said like, okay, just tell me how to make a bunch of money. I can't tell you in a sentence. And do you really want me to spend, you know, 30 hours of my time, like explaining like every little detail, like
that. Man. Do you see that, like, people's, like I'll say in my industry, so people wanting to learn how to communicate with people better or have better sexual relations, whatever, if they're coming at me from that angle, like, look, I just want to know what works, it's like, man, it's a frustrated individual. That's like a kind of, like, immediate instinct, like, I just have so much experience with it. But would you say in a business standpoint, is that, where's that person coming from? Is it? I always think like, man, you got to work on yourself. Like, if you're saying that to me, you got to work on yourself. But from a business standpoint, with people wanting to start businesses, no, just tell me what works.
Yeah, I've had a number of people like that. If they write me an email or something, and you know, I either don't respond to a lot of emails. I just get too backed up. I get too many emails, or it takes me a while to respond. And I try to respond to all of them, but it's, you know, a lot of them are just it take me a while. I get a number of people who send me another email and say, hey, you didn't respond to my email. And it's just like, like, okay, it's very hard to, like, I obviously want to help people, but, you know, some people are just very demanding that, okay, I need you to work for me for free and tell me, like, everything you know. That's not the way to go. Just if you show people, you have a buddy who's super, like, the nicest guy ever, super successful in e-commerce. He was in how to buy a Ferrari for 20K post. It was my friend that I was talking about. And he, the most helpful guy ever. So if you have a question on, you know, e-commerce, that's my buddy who helped me get into e-commerce. He's very similar in that, like, he actually really enjoys helping people and showing them how to do business. And he's very good at it. And his thing is, look, like, you can't hire him or anything. He's like, look, I just like helping people. I'll gladly help people free as long as they put the work in and show me that they're going to do something with what I tell them. Because the majority of people in life, I'm sure you know, like, with, you know, people you come across, is the majority of people, you'll spend time with them. You'll basically take free time and give it to them, and then they won't do anything. And then, you know, this happened to me a while ago. Some guy, he said, let me take, you know, can we go to lunch? Wanted to pick your brain. And you know, so I said, okay, you know, we'll go to lunch. You know, seemed like a nice guy, help him out. And then go to lunch, I gave him a bunch of ideas, like what he could do. And X amount of months later, like, wants to go to lunch again. And that's happened, like, multiple times. And, like, hey, I wanted to ask you a bunch of stuff. Like, hey, how'd it go with all the, you know, all the stuff we talked about and stuff? Like, didn't do any of it. And so it's just, like, he wants to just keep using time, and they're not, like, and he's a guy I would have gladly met up and, like, helped out and, like, all that stuff, like, for free, because he's a nice guy, and but it's just, like, you want to help the people who help themselves, and that's the biggest thing people don't get, is they just, you know, starting business, making money, it's easy, it's very easy, but it is hard work, like, you have to put some work in, and a lot of people, you know, maybe they read the 4-hour work week and think they can start out working 4 hours a week. That's not quite how it works. You know, a lot of 4-hour work weeks are built on 80-hour work weeks to set up a 4-hour work week. So, you know, if I want to work 4 hours a week now, I can. But however, I put in a ton of time. You know, I was staying in weekends reading everything from
You're nuts.
Anybody,
man.
You know, I could learn from. And
you've always, like, been, like, you've always been ready to work. And what's interesting about, like, the 4-hour work week guys, if you build up to that level, then you kind of get bored and work with somebody else. It's like you start a new thing that you're going to work like crazy on. But it's a cool setup. Let me ask you this. What is it that you value? Because, I mean, look, you're really successful, but is it money that drives you? What is it that makes you work?
I don't know that it's money that drives me. I think money's a motivator, in terms of, you know, I think there's certain amounts of money that are goals, or, like, certain points that I think would enable a certain lifestyle. And so there's, you know, I feel like there's different levels of, for everyone, like, whether someone wants, you know, maybe someone wants a, you know, very conservative lifestyle, and maybe that number's, you know, relatively small, like, whatever it is, there's different points where you can get to that kind of put you at the next stage, or the next, I guess, step in the game, so to speak, for you. And I think that's a motivator, but it's not not a huge one, I guess. It's the biggest motivator is being able to do what I want all the time, and I guess hitting certain, obviously, income goals or you know, just total money goals help give you confidence that you can do that long term and have what you want long term. I think you know, business in general, for me, if I had tens of millions of dollars, I would want to still do business, because I like it, I enjoy it. It's a game, and it's a way to offer value to people. I mean, a lot of people think, you're in business, you must just like making money and all that stuff. But I mean, if you go into business the right way, you're really creating a lot of value for people, and I enjoy that. I do enjoy kind of the strategy behind business, the competitive nature of, okay, the competitors are offering this, you know, what would it take to be better? What would it take to beat them? What would it take to, you know, to outmarket them, to get their customers? I mean, that's interesting. I think it's a lot of fun. It's basically like, you know, like chess. I mean, but with money involved, and it's a lot of fun. I think, I think money's a motivator, but it's not the only thing. I think, like you talked about, if you just have a 4-hour work week business, which I've done that at times, and it gets boring. And like right now, I'm working all the time from when I wake up to when I sleep, and working on Ecom Lab, and I love it because I'm excited about working on it. I feel like there's a gap in the market there. I think it's going to be challenging to launch and to reach the markets I want to reach, and so that actually makes it a lot more fun. So,
like, first off, there's like motivation and stuff, which can be hard for people. Like at first, especially if you're used to working a job, it's like you think you're like, man, I have 8 hours that I dedicate to this job, and then commute and all this sort of stuff. I could be working myself. When you work for yourself, it's different. Totally different. And I almost want to say, when I see people working at a job, I see them like, you know, they go at their own pace or whatever. And somehow when you're working for yourself, it's like you've got to be working like very focused and hard. And you might take breaks. I will tell you this, like in 4 hours that I work much harder than I would have at any job that I had and being an employee. There's a different dedication and attachment that comes to it. And so that motivation is hard to maintain. But also what I wanted to ask you in terms of value is, a lot of times when you're talking about making connections with people, like, so when you put yourself out there to somebody that you want to meet and know and work with, or when somebody wants to work with you, you're not talking about a financial value, or you're not talking about some measured tick for tack value. Like, oh, I bought you dinner, you buy me dinner. And I think that's like something where people, I think, get mixed up. Like, what is it that you value from that?
From meeting people?
Yeah, well, I heard, you know, when people are coming to you, it's like, well, you value them wanting to learn. You value them, dedicating themselves. When you're putting yourself out there to meet people because you've made some pretty fucking awesome connections with people that have directly helped you in business, and you've broke it down to me before just saying like, hey, you know, I was your fan, kind of like what you just said.
Yeah.
But you're not coming from like a value standpoint of like, hey, look, I'm benefiting you in this way. It's more like...
Yeah, I feel like if you're going into a relationship, like, trying to trade, sometimes it's not genuine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily bad to do that. I mean, if you say, hey, I'm great at this, and I think you need this, and you're great at this, and I need that, it's not necessarily bad. Mm-hmm. But it's clearly, like, a transactional, you know, exchange. I think a lot of times, I mean, if I want to meet people, and another point in terms of, like, meeting people and finding people that you know, can offer value to you. I mean, lately I've been going to like a lot of conferences. You know, I went to Tim Ferriss' conference, I guess it was almost 2 years ago now. I met some people there. Just been traveling and going to these conferences. I think they're, you know, if you put in the work networking, I think it pays off. Surprisingly, like, the blog has introduced me to people in a good way that probably wouldn't have met otherwise. I mean, in terms of, you know, if I want to learn something from someone, lots of times I'll not necessarily tell them what I could potentially offer them, but say, hey, look, you know, give them super brief background, because you don't want to write people a story and waste time. But say, hey, look, like what you're doing. You know, let's either grab a drink or whatever it may be. But in some way, and I'm not offering it, but in some way, I'll probably prove that, hey, like, there's probably value I could give to you. And I'll even say sometimes, hey, you know, we'd love to help you if there's anything I can help you with. And if they look, you know, for example, if I'm writing from my blog email, they can look at Forever Jobless and say, okay, you know, read something I've written and say, okay, it sounds like you might, you know, have some value to offer me. And so, you know, maybe I'll get calls or meetings that I wouldn't have gotten had they don't know who I am. It's just a blank email with some guy wanting free advice. And so, you know, if there's some way that I can show them that, hey, look, like, I'm not going to waste your time. Like, this, you know, I actually, for the e-commerce training site for Ecom Lab, I reached out and cold emailed and cold called a lot of people, and it was hard to get those calls. And I found that if I gave them a little bit of background, then people would take my calls, and I'm sure we could go back in the emails and look and get some sort of number on the percentage of the calls I got by showing, like, you know, hey, I'm Billy from Forever Jobless, and they took a look, or hey, I'm Billy, can we do a call? And it was, I had my assistant basically write them and say, hey, you know, Billy's interested in just chatting with you about the e-commerce business and you know, just kind of networking with you. And that's like, those are emails, like, I would never answer those, because they're just, most of the time it's basically an email saying, I want free advice. That's what that email would usually mean. But because they can see, you know, I have a track record and I'm not, yeah. I'm not going to waste their time. So it's actually one email specifically, there was a girl that I wanted to talk to about some things she was doing. And I thought I could pick her brain on some stuff and I knew I could offer her value back. And basically I wrote her an email and it was funny that this is the type of opportunity sometimes the blog opens up. I wrote her an email and I said, hey, you know, I like the stuff you've been doing. I've read some of your articles for a while. Love to hop on a quick Skype call with you. You know, let me know if you have the time, you know, sometime this week. And wrote me back and said, hey, you know, I get a lot of emails, just don't have time to do calls. And I get another email 30 minutes later and she said, I didn't know that you were that Billy. And yeah, I'd love to jump on a call. Here's my Skype. And I was like, wow, really? Like, and that was my first experience with okay, like having a blog and putting a little bit of stuff out there helps a lot. Like helps you get the interest you need. Don't get me wrong. I don't think a lot of people should start a blog. I think it's not, I don't think most people should. But I think if you have a specific thing that you'd like to either connect with or teach with, and it's would add value to people, I think it's worth putting out there because it can get you access to who you want to talk to in the space. It's definitely helped, but yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily pitch the fact that I could offer you value, but I just let them kind of look. I mean, if somebody writes you an email, lots of times you'll at least check their URL. And so, you know, that's tend to work for me, just, you know, letting them see Forever Jobless and saying like either they like it or they don't. If they like it, there's a chance they'll probably hop on a call.
So this goes to a few things transitioning into questions that guys had emailed me. You know, well, that first question we went over, which was kind of like, hey, how do I start a business? I don't know where to go. I have some international background and stuff like that. How do I find a mentor? I feel you kind of answered that. You know, it's like, well, research business. Study it before you go into it.
Yeah. I guess there's one thing that might help. There's a post I made. It's called how to create a business that prints money, and it's on Forever Jobless. And it's all it is. It's, you know, when I start a business, a lot of people have businesses that check off. You know, you need to make sure it has like these 10 things or these 12 things. Like I have a business checklist of two things. It's, you know, I think we mentioned this briefly, but I don't know if I described it. But it's basically, can you create something that's better than what's on the market currently? If so, you go to step two. I mean, a lot of people try and do both at the same time. Step two is just, how can you reach the market? You need to figure out a way to reach the market in a big way. If you can do those two things, you're in business. And so most people who start a business never check off either of those boxes. They think they do it. Like, okay, I'll get this product, I'll just throw it up there, and then I'm going to, like, you know, spam everybody.
So you say make the product first. Like, make sure that product is solid.
I mean, if we're talking about like the launch phase in a business, I do it the opposite of what most people teach. So, which I don't think, you know, launching with like a minimum viable product and stuff like that is bad. In a lot of situations, it's good. There are a lot of situations where it's very wrong and people don't understand it because they just take the concept like, oh, I should launch with a you know, crappy product.
I've always been against that. I remember as soon as I started teaching people, like, we're like, well, let me tell you how internet marketing works. They'd say, well, if it's good enough, it's good enough, or something like that.
Yeah, and I disagree with that because the whole way that my business philosophy is basically create something so good that people are stupid not to sign up for it, right? And people are stupid not to buy it. And so if that happens, the marketing actually becomes really easy, similar to the blog post I was talking about. Like, I don't have to market my blog post. Everybody does it for me because I spent all the time on the content. Mm. And similar to a business product or a service, if I make the service or business so good, it's like, this is stupid if you don't sign up for it. Everybody's going to do all my marketing for free because they're going to tell everybody, dude, you got to check this out. You got to sign up. Well, you know, name me, you know, the number of like Warrior Forum products that have launched that people are saying that about. Probably close to 0% because they're spending all their time on marketing, but they don't have anything worth marketing yet. And so what happens is, you know, their marketing can't compound because they're just like, hey, will you spam everybody on your list and will you spam everybody on your list? And then, but you know, that's why most businesses, I mean, I know there's audio and they can't see, but that's why most businesses spike huge and then drop off and die. Like the most internet marketing businesses, because they don't actually have a business yet. So they have some random product and they can kind of game, you know, the affiliate marketing angle of it, and then it dies and they launch a new one. Where if you have a real business, you create a business that can be market, you know, that can be marketed. And the only reason you should market is if people need it and it's valuable. So I think if you can check off those two boxes, then it's everything you need. But most people are running around trying to figure out how to market something that doesn't deserve to be marketed. And so it's a flawed theory. So,
and when would you say it would be all right if it's kind of like, it's not quite done, but you're going to launch it anyway?
I think, you know, I don't, for example, if you're against risk and you just say, hey, I'd like to limit my risk here. I don't want to take a big chance and I'm just going to see if people want it. I think that's totally cool. You know, I think for me, for example, I'm okay with, you know, I'd rather spend, you know, five figures on something, like a building something I really think people need and people want it. And, you know, for me, it works like this. Like, I do my due diligence to a point where I'm confident there's a need or there's a want. And so I'm comfortable enough to say, okay, I'm willing to, you know, I'll invest five figures in launching this in a bunch of time instead of, you know, throwing it up for, you know, cheap, just really quick and a bad product and saying, people will tell me if it's good or not. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd rather put my time on the due diligence. And so there's plenty of stuff that I, you know, the other people would have launched as a minimum viable product, but instead I did due diligence on, I spent time on it and said, hey, there's probably not, you know, big enough hole that would interest me to launch it. And so then there's plenty of stuff like you've never heard of that I've worked on because I never launched it. Because I didn't feel like there was a big enough need. Where other people, that's why, you know, you'll hear people say, like, I've done, you know, 37 products. And it's like, well, why? Like, there wasn't a need for them. But, like, a lot of those people are launching them and one fails and launching them and one succeeds. And it's don't get me wrong, it's not wrong. It's just that for my business philosophy, I think it's I wouldn't enjoy it as much, and I don't think, you know, I just prefer to put my time on the front end, and then, you know, once I launch something, my focus goes to marketing it, where, you know, other people are so concerned with, okay, we're going to do this, like, huge pre-launch, like, we're going to tell everybody, and then they launch it and, you know, get a bunch of sales and it dies. I think it's not wrong. I think there's spots where I'd potentially do a minimal viable product. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but, you know, if I wanted to limit risk, maybe there's some huge, huge, you know, opportunity that would just cost a ton of money for me to start or a ton of time. And maybe I'd, you know, get a small beta test with a certain number of people I thought would be customers and test it out. I think that's totally cool. I just think that, you know, most people just literally never check off those boxes, and they have to if they want a real business.
Yeah, I think I think one of the things that I'd say where it would be all right is if the balance of the product and marketing were in some way equal, if you could measure that. Mm-hmm. But if it's strong on the marketing side and yet ignoring the product, then it's impossible for it to sustain, because just randomly you're not going to make that good of a thing.
Yeah.
But if you're working on it and in production with it, I think it's an okay thing to kind of test out. Sometimes the learning process of actually trying to sell it and market it will help develop it to be what it should be. But, man, I think it's important for people to remember that quality is a big thing, and I really have never understood why. Still, to this day, if you look at the kind of internet marketing forums, that's like it's mainly how to market rather than, I mean, I guess you can't sell how to make quality. Well, you probably could.
Yeah.
There's the niche.
I know. I don't think it's funny because I was thinking about that the other day. Like, I don't think anyone has ever taught, you know, how to make a quality business. And it's funny. Like, that's the only thing that matters. And nobody's actually taught it.
It's so funny, man, because internet marketing, what's the number one thing sold? How to internet market.
Yeah.
Then it's like seduction and weight loss.
It's crazy. My first experience on Warrior Farm, people said, you know, I just, you know, learned the term internet marketing years ago, and people said, go to Warrior Forum. And I got there, and it was like, one of the first things I saw was, here's an ebook on how to sell ebooks. And I was like, wait, what? Like, there's like, I didn't understand, you know, why, like, okay, so you're selling ebooks to people who sell ebooks, like, who, like, maybe there's another level where you sell ebooks to another. Another level. Like, I didn't
know.
Once
you get sucked into it, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
This is what you have to do. This is it.
It was crazy. And so, but yeah, that's the focus that most people just never, never do. And actually, one person, for example, one that comes up that's perfect example of when it would make sense and somebody would build a great business on it, was Noah Kagan, like right in Boston. He built AppSumo, and he launched with a very minimal viable product, but he did it in a way where it was, number one, it was very creative. Like, no one was doing what he was doing. He had an idea. He just wanted to test the idea out. And I mean, if people don't know the backstory, and I'm probably going to mess it up a little bit, but to give you an idea, he went to somebody who had a product or service and basically went to them and said, hey, I want to sell your product, but will you give me a discounted pricing? And they agreed, and he basically marketed it for them. And, you know, I forget what he did. I think he even, like, put it on Craigslist or did something like that. I'm not positive. And ended up selling, you know, however many. Like, he ran an AdWords campaign, whatever he ended up doing with it to sell it. But he sold X amount of them. The company made money. He made money. And so it was like an AppSumo idea was kind of initially born that, like, wait a minute, like, I can bulk sell products to people and make a cut of it. So he was essentially like, AppSumo, for people who don't know, is essentially like kind of like a Groupon for like entrepreneurs and tech people. It's like services and products and things like that. And so, so that's an example of like one where, you know, it's number one, it's like, you know, out of the box, like nobody was really doing that, I don't think, at the time. And he just wanted to see if it'd work, you know, and it's not, so he's not really, you know, he didn't have to spend a lot of time. It was something that if it worked, he could scale up a lot. Like, I think that's a great example of something that makes sense. But for example, when I talk about something not making sense is when people take a product or service and they do a crappy job because they want to rush it out and test it. You know, he launched, you know, he obviously didn't have the design and like a huge developed website or anything like that. But his product was good. Like his offering was good, right? He's offering discounted pricing on a product people need and want. And so he's offering value. And so that's what I talk about when there's situations where it would make sense. The situations where it wouldn't make sense is the way most people do it. They offer a crappy product and think that's a minimal viable product. That's not how it works.
Yeah. No, man, you have so much to talk about. It's fucking awesome. I dig it. Let's get to Gary's question, which was about the EV, the plus and minus EV, and how it was adaptable and all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
You got a post on it, but bust it out.
Yeah, I guess the gist of EV in general is EV is expected value. And so the post he's referring to, I wrote a post called Millionaire's Math. And I guess the easiest way to explain it is, you know, most people think about things emotionally and they make their decisions emotionally. But the correct way is to think about them logically. And if you can calculate the EV on basically any situation, I come from poker. And so EV is kind of, you know, normal lingo and everybody, you know, breaks down the EV on certain hands to know what the correct decision is. And, but I find that in life and in business, most people who don't have that type of background make horrible decisions and, you know, they could easily be avoided by calculating the EV on what the decisions were. And so, for example, when it comes to, you know, starting a business, or, you know, hey, should I take this job, or should I start a business, or should I, you know, do X, Y, or Z? There's actually an answer. I mean, there's a mathematical answer to what you should do, but most people react emotionally. So, for example, if you look at someone in a job and they say, you know, hey, I really want to start this business, but, you know, I don't know, my job pays me, you know, X amount of money. I don't know. Business sounds risky, so I'll just stay at my job. Well, that's an emotional response, and they're making an emotional decision to avoid risk. And that's the way most people are, you know, that's the way most people function. I mean, they were taught, you know, that way from, you know, growing up in high school and all that, go get a job, stay safe, you know, don't lose money, don't get hurt. And so, but, you know, breaking it down logically, you know, you can get the highest, what route leads you to the highest EV? That's the correct answer. And that's the most profitable answer. And, I think if people just broke down the math, and when I talk about math, a lot of people say like, oh man, you must be really good at math. You're lucky. Like, you must, you know, just be, you know, been great at math. And but the math I'm talking about is like fourth grade math, but it's just people are not.
Then I couldn't do it.
Well, you might be in trouble, but probably most people could. But it's just very, it's very simple, right? So there's a number you could equate to getting your job. So it's easy in a job, right? If someone says, I make a salary of 50 grand. Okay, so the EV in that job is 50 grand. So, and then you look at starting a business and you can actually break down, you know, how much you could make in the business. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're going to make this definitely. Now, EV is basically expected value. So you can break down, okay, if this happens, I think I'll make roughly this. If this happens, I think I'll make roughly this. You can come to an EV number, and you get your number by doing due diligence. So, for example, if you were going to buy a store, it's making X, and, 50% of the time I think it'll make, a little less. 50% of the time I think I can grow it. Whatever. I mean, that's a very general example, but you could get way deep into the math to make it more accurate. But it would give you a number. And so the correct decision would be to go with the business that's the higher EV, or go to the situation that's a higher EV. The majority of people, and this is really scary and it's accurate, but the majority of people actually choose the lower EV the majority of the time. So essentially, they're making negative EV choices over and over and over and over throughout their life. And especially with financial decisions, because of the fact that they view it as riskier, but the fact that they're making negative EV choices over and over to avoid what they view as short-term risk essentially guarantees themselves failure. So what I mean by that is, let's say you have a goal to, make X amount of money, or retire by a certain age or whatever it may be. People that are constantly making negative EV decisions to avoid, what they view as risk is actually substantially riskier than making the correct decisions and choosing, the plus EV route the whole time. So, the math adds up, right? I mean, you look at a professional poker player, the reason they make money at poker long-term is because they make the correct decisions over and over and over. And so all those little mathematical decisions that are correct add up. So, yeah, they'll lose money some days, win money some days, but the money adds up a lot because they're making the correct decisions. The way most people operate, and that's why, most people don't have the amount of money that they want to make, is because they're constantly making negative EV decisions. They're not making a decision that will get them where they want to go.
And so, like, a resource for this, obviously your article, but was it just from playing poker that you really got this?
I guess I've always looked at the math in things. I've just, for whatever reason, I've been interested in it. I never, that's why I never made sense to get a job to me and that type of stuff. But, but it was very... But the poker background helped a lot, where it's the poker helped cut out emotions, because you get so used to like making the correct decisions and not really caring about the result. Because if you know you made the correct decision, the results are irrelevant, because you'll have another chance to make a plus EV decision, another chance. So the thing is, though, like, let's say you get 1,000, opportunities to make, plus EV or minus EV choice in your life. Well, if you're constantly picking the negative EV route, I mean, what do you think that graph's going to look like? It's not going to go up very high. But if you're constantly picking the plus EV route, yeah, maybe you'll have some swings, but the chances are your graph's going to go up pretty high, because over and over you're making the correct decision, where most people are making the wrong decision on purpose. I mean, they don't know it's on purpose, but they're just like, hey, I'm going to make whatever decision avoids short-term risk. But doing that essentially guarantees long-term failure.
So... Let me deviate a little bit here. But how come poker players then don't have like longevity careers? Because what I tend to notice, I don't know everybody, but from what I've observed from kind of the sidelines, is that, for 1 or 2 years they'll kick some ass and then just plateau. And then some of them like collapse severely, and then other ones just kind of like fizzle out and do something else with their life.
Yeah, I guess it depends. I mean, a lot of guys I know did really well and moved on to other stuff just because like poker got boring. Like for me, poker got a little boring. And so, I started doing business, cause poker's a job basically. I mean, it's just the same thing every day. And, there's some guys who just end up playing above their heads and losing and just don't get back into it. But for the most part, like a winning player can consistently win. And maybe games get harder or whatever it may be, but, if you took, 100 poker players and you took 100 guys from corporate America and said, which team do you want to start a business? I'd pick the poker players all day, because they can think circles around the other guys and not be emotionally attached to the decisions. They'll just make the correct ones.
It's weird. And I guess I've gone over, there's so many different poker circles, but when people hear about my friends in poker, people that I've worked with, they'll be like, and they're also poker players. They're like, oh, well, the kind of, they might be like, those guys might be more emotionally reactive. But some of the dudes were like phenoms. Yeah. And then it was just like, boom. Like, I know guys that have made $1 million multiple times and lost it. Mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like, but you have to be so good to make that kind of, you know, deal. But then you, they just like fuck it up like in crazy ways. So
yeah,
well, might be the people I know. I mean,
yeah, and a lot of guys. I mean, a lot of guys go for the huge scores, right? So a lot of guys who do that. I mean, that's part of the risk is if you're playing insanely high stakes, that's the risk. Like the, you know, maybe you're plus EV, but you're going to get higher variance. So if a guy, you know, let's say a guy makes $1 million
swings big, yeah,
and then says, I want to gamble $1 million to make a million more, they can lose it. But however, you know, there's also, you know, 10 more guys who made $1 billion and then, you know, stayed playing their same stakes. And yeah, they weren't going to go make $10 million.
Yeah, they'd always try and explain like it's the meta game. The game's the same, but
yeah,
but whatever. And then one more question on this kind of topic. Why are poker players so into The Wire? And which character would you... Because I see the tape.
Oh, yeah.
You have a VHS tape of it.
Yeah.
Genius show. You should watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, The Wire is awesome. I don't know. I mean, I actually think I found out about The Wire probably from poker forums. And I'm not sure why they're into it. I love it.
I found out about it through poker. Like, I didn't look at the poker forums, but my friends who played poker would talk about it.
Yeah.
And then, like, romanticize about the different characters they wanted to be. They all wanted to be Omar. I was like,
Omar was cool, yeah.
If you want to get chicks, be like McNulty.
Yeah,
I know. That's who you want. Yeah. I just remember the one scene where he's in the diner and he's all wasted. And the waitress comes up to him and he's just like, ugh. And he shows his badge and then like it cuts to him like railing her. And then he like gets in a car accident or something.
So, like, yeah, I remember that.
It's like, that's it. That's all. Just personify that in some way and you'll do fine with the opposite sex. Okay, let's get to some of these other questions that came in. Where should we start? If I can type in this like password quick enough. Oh, yeah, actually, let's talk about this. This is my buddy Rick, so he has a philosophy. And I get what you're saying because like I'm thinking the same thing. Like I have a philosophy and stuff that I want to teach. But in order to market that philosophy, in order to get that out there, and basically what his question is, if I can read it from a distance. I'm a terrible reader, by the way. Marketing an unknown like religion or philosophy, like his martial art, Wu Chi Fa, which he founded and started, and pretty crazy shit. But he says it's a niche. It's very broad. It has to do with connecting your whole body and mind, and as he always says, how the ordinary becomes extraordinary. But how would you get that out to the masses so that it could be known? And I think just taking some of the principles that you've mapped out, it's like, well, how would that communicate and be the best? And then how would it fulfill an area which is empty?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about that subject specifically, but if it's just reading about it a little bit, I would I try and educate on it, but do it in an interesting way. So, for example, you know, a good way to make people want to learn about something is through stories. I think that's something that I learned in writing. You know, I'm not, you know, a very good writer. I had to learn like, how do I make people want to read it? How do I make it flow? And through stories was really recommended to me. So if you can tell through stories, interesting stories, whether it's funny stories or just kind of creative stories or stories where they learn or get ideas from, you got to make people want to learn about it. There's a million ways you could market it. You know, blogging, YouTube, whatever it may be. The marketing doesn't matter so much what channel you use, but just you've got to do something to make people want to learn it. Without knowing exactly what it is, it's tough for me to say how I would do it. But I would just try and tell stories, try and teach about it. And it's, you know, if it's something that no one knows about, it's going to be harder. But however, that's also, you know, kind of how you find gaps in the market. The ones that are harder to break in, like, hey, no one's doing this. Well, lots of times I look at that and say, okay, well, you can look at that as good or bad. Like, one is like, no one's doing it. I have no idea if a market's there. Where the other way you look at it as like, that's awesome. No one's doing it. There's a quote or a saying somewhere, right? Where there was a guy who, guy went over to Africa, right? Shoe company sends him over to Africa and guy comes back. The rep comes back. It's a sales rep. Comes back and says, no, it's horrible, horrible market. No one wears shoes. And another company sends a sales rep there. Guy travels around Africa, comes back. He says, awesome market. No one wears shoes. And so it's just the way you look at it. Like, you know, one company sees, holy crap, like we can own that market. Like nobody's in it. The other company says like, like no one even wears shoes. Like there's not a market there, and so it's going to be obviously harder, you know, if no one wears shoes, you know, to use that analogy. But it's also, you know, probably how you could become the guy probably pretty easily talking about that topic.
Yeah, this is why I like talking to you, because you make it so simple. A lot of times from a marketing standpoint and how to pitch your stuff, you're like, well, how did other people do it? Well, you know, get celebrity or get, and all those things are cool, mm-hmm. but you're saying like, man, have your solid product first. And the definition of that alone may actually, you know,
I mean, just make it interesting, you know, go write something or go do a speech on something and go show five people and say like, would you want to learn about this? Like, what did you think? Like, and get feedback. And, you know, I wrote on my blog but I wrote stuff that I'm writing on my blog years ago. And I would just, you know, I would present on it at like an entrepreneur meetup, and people would be like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, we like that. And I'd be like, oh, maybe I'll start a blog. And I used to, you know, send it to people and be like, hey, what do you think about this? And so like the blog posts that I'm putting out now, like a lot of those I wrote or like wrote the, you know, super rough draft on like years ago. And
really,
it was just, you know, but people told me and I made the post better as I, you know, learned like, yeah, like we didn't really like this that much, but like, here's why, like it kind of dragged on here and here and here. And so I learned how to make it at least a little bit interesting where they'd want to learn it. And they, you know, like, I mean, math isn't fun, right? But like, but if I told you like, okay, what about if I, you know, threw in money and like showed you how math can make you money? It still sounds kind of boring, but then if you can write it up in a way like the Millionaire's Math post, I think people really got, because like I put stories like where it applied and it was very easy to understand. And so you've got to learn to make it how people would want to learn it, want to hear about it.
Yeah, no, man, that's actually, it's a good take. It's just a fresh perspective at stuff, because again, when you hear about marketing and all that shit, it goes into all this crazy stuff. Anyway, my buddy Jason wrote in. He's talking a lot about like negativity and that affecting you, and he gets pretty like specific about it. But I guess it's mainly that dynamic when you're in the pursuit of good things in your life. Sometimes stuff gets a little bit negative. I don't know if that's so much reality. Like you always hear like, you know, those speakers and say like, you know, your job is to get somebody angry at you. That's how you know you're kicking ass.
Right.
But it seems like this kind of has that theme to it. But, I mean, look, dude, you know, I think you're in pursuit of a pretty good life. So that's pretty important to you. You know, that's always been like since I've known you, whether that's health or, you know, how you spend your free time, where you're living, your type of just your general lifestyle and how your business sustains for it. Do you get caught up with people like, I guess, like haters or shit coming against you?
Not so much. I mean, I guess sometimes it sucks, right? Like, you know, you'll start a business or something. And you know, I always hated when people would be like, oh, like anyone could have started that or anyone could have done that. And it's just kind of like, but you learn to like, you get used to it and you learn to dismiss them because like, well, you know, if they could have started, they should have. But they're, you know, those people aren't starting businesses. So it's easy to, you know, kind of goes back to the quote a little bit, like, you know, take advice from those you aspire to be, like, ignore everyone else. Like, that everyone else people are the haters, are the people that are like, I could have done that, or like, oh, you're just lucky. Like I get, you know, like on you know, e-commerce stores or something, like a lot of people are saying like, oh, like, you know, you must just got lucky to get that deal. Like a lot of my deals, that's why I wrote the post, how to get lucky in e-commerce, because and I'm not arguing with them, I was lucky, but like all the work I put in like created the luck, because it just put me in those situations. And so I think, you know, if people are negative around you, like obviously I wouldn't hang out with those people. But you know, a lot of people are gonna, you know, it's easier, and I'm not, you know, I've never written on this subject. Some people I'm sure could talk about it a lot better than me, but people, you know, who drag you down or like, you know, hate on you or whatever it may be, are negative, are lots of times the majority of people are doing that based on their own insecurities. They want to feel like, I guess the easiest way to explain it is if you've had some success and, you know, it makes somebody else feel better to kind of talk about like how there must be a reason you're there, that like, you know, you got lucky, or, you know, you must have inherited your money, or you must have, like, whatever it may be, you must have cheated. Like, that's the only reason you made it and I didn't. And it makes them feel better for not doing anything with their lives. And so I think a lot of times that's why people kind of react and come out.
I'll say this with the negativity. Like, look, when you hit certain areas, it builds conflict with certain people. And some people, yeah, they might be more insecure and some negativity comes out. And at times in my life, like, I've been mad or envious or jealous of people. But here's, like, the advice. Cut those people out.
Yeah.
Like, until they're ready to be your friend again or some bullshit like that. But the thing is like, man, drama feeds off of drama. So, like, if Billy's mad at me or gossiping about me and I'm sitting there thinking about it, you know, I'm keeping that drama alive and inviting it to all sorts of shit in my life. So, you know, when you get to different areas in your pursuit of happiness, it might build conflict with people who were in a different phase of your life or represent something else that might be negative. It might just be different.
Yeah.
But if that negativity happens, man.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look at, you know, you don't see many successful people kind of being negative and haters. It's because of the fact that, you know, a confidence from working hard and having success, you know, it allows you to, you know, you don't need to hate on people and be negative because, you know, if you think about really successful people, I mean, do you think like Bill Gates is sitting around his house like just talking negative about people?
Or worried about the negative people, you know?
Like, he doesn't have to because, you know, he knows, you know, what he's done. Like, he doesn't have to make himself feel better by putting people down. And I think that's why most people are negative, is because it makes them feel better to put others down so that they can in their mind get them down to their level, because they don't want to work to do anything.
And shit, it happens, but don't buy into it. I mean, big time. Don't let it fuck you up. Yeah. Oscar and JJ kind of talk about the same thing, and they're like, weekly, daily habits, monthly habits, stuff like that. What's a good mindset to maintain? Because you're a motivated dude. I can't work like powerhouse 16 hours in front of a computer like yourself. Like, I got to get out and do something. But like, what, and a lot of it's developing your own thing, because everybody who has their own business kind of has their own way of running it. But what are some like habits that you are steadfast with?
I think, well, last year I started a habit of, I set a fitness goal at the beginning of the last year. And so, one habit I do now to help achieve that, and I set another one this year, is I don't do anything to start the day unless I get a workout in first. So I basically get up and either, you know, eat and go to the gym or go to the gym and then eat. And basically, like, I don't go grab food with somebody. I don't go, start doing business calls, unless it's urgent. I don't start, you know, doing a bunch of other stuff. I basically get up, you know, have a quick bite to eat and go to the gym.
What time do you wake up? Do you wake up habitually at the same time? Or?
No, it's, I used to wake up a lot later. And I mean, in the poker days, it was really late, but I mean, now I'm probably getting up, normally 9 or 10. But then, you know, now since we're working with developers in a different time zone, now I'm getting up earlier. Today I got up at, I don't know, 7:30 or 8, which for me is really early. I know for a lot of people it's like, that's normal, but I'm working and, you know, working or staying up a lot of times until, you know, like 2 in the morning. And so it's just a different schedule. But yes, I'll make sure I get my workout on before I do anything.
What kind of workout stuff do you do? Cause you're pretty efficient with it. Like, you got good results with it.
Yeah, I do.
In a nutshell, what is it?
Yeah, I basically do four days lifting, 3 days cardio, and then just pretty clean.
You work out every day.
Pretty much. I mean, there's times where, like, if I get real busy, I'll skip a cardio day. I try not to skip many lifting days, but, and then I'll, I mean, there's times, like, for example, if I'm aiming for a certain goal, I'll try and work out, you know, every day or almost every day. But then, you know, if I'm sore or not feeling well, like, I'll take off because you don't want to get hurt. But, and then once I hit my goal, I'm not as strict.
Do you lift like for an hour, 2 hours, 20 minutes? Like, what style of?
I'd say probably my average lifting workout is probably about an hour. And then cardio is just pretty quick. It's, you know, maybe 20 minutes of running.
Oh, so do you do intervals of that or no?
No, I just do like a 3 mile.
Cool.
3 mile run.
No, this is something like we totally talk about. Like, for instance, I do these like 30-day lifestyle challenges, which isn't to promote like a quick fix of 30 days, but it's more that in 30 days you can build a habit that can really help you in a lot of ways, focused on like health or mentality or whatever. But man, I did one that was lifting 5 days a week, and It was about an hour to an hour and a half, like, lifting session, which is different than a lot of the stuff that I had heard about or even attempted to do before. But it was cool, man. It was actually very cool. Like, it changed so much.
Yeah.
That really made me like love lifting weights, and that's an aspect of.
It's amazing how much that stuff will change your life. Like, everything from, you know, if you do it enough to where it can make a big change for you. Like, everything from confidence to, like, feeling better, to looking
your
better.
Mentality,
like,
too.
Yeah.
If you lift, like, it changes how you think and feel. And, you know, like, if I lift in the morning, I'm good for the rest of the day.
Yeah, totally.
Like, my mentality is where I should be.
Yep.
It's a trip, man. It's very different. It's different than doing cardio or, like, jujitsu or, like, shit. Like that shit is beneficial, too, but it's, like, it wears on you. But lifting, I could actually lift 5 days a week, and if I ate right, then I'd be fine. Like, and it was mainly eating. I didn't really supplement with anything other than minerals and vitamins.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I basically don't take many supplements. I take, like, protein shakes, stuff like that, and just really clean eating, like eggs, oatmeal, salmon, chicken, that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. All right, let's do one more. American education system. Well, you were talking about education in terms of a specific thing, but you went to college.
Yep.
Recommend it for people, or
it depends. It's hard to answer, like, in a nutshell, because it's, you know, would I recommend college to people? If you kind of want to have fun and, you know, go party, I think college is good.
Yeah, actually, let me just say, this guy's saying, like, the American education system basically institutionalizes people, and it sets them up to be employees rather than entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's 4 years worth, you know, the debt and all this other stuff.
Yeah. I think college is unique because it lets you hang out with people who are doing the same thing you are, and kind of is a cool social situation. I think if someone came to me and said, my goal is to make the most money possible as quickly as possible, should I go to college? Like, obviously the answer is no. You know, it's funny. If you look at college as an investment, right? You know, if you look at, a lot of people are spending like $100,000 on a college, and, you know, you would never invest in a business. So imagine if I came to you with a deal, Steve, and said, I'm going to give you $100,000 and you can work for me for free for 4 years. And after you're done, I'll say you'll probably get a job for $30,000, or I'll probably pay you $30,000. Like, you'd
that
be like,
would be
that's
low
the worst,
EV.
Yeah, that's the worst business ever. And so, you know, most people don't think about it like that, and so they look at college and they say, you know, oh, like, I'm going to get this degree that supposedly gets me this job, and that job supposedly, like, can keep getting me more money. But they don't think about it like, if there's ever a business for sale that's like, you know, $100,000, and like, it's going to make $0 the first 4 years, and after that, it made me 30 a year, and then maybe 40 and 50 and whatever, you'd be like, wow, that's a horrible business. I'd never do that. And so if somebody said, I want to make the most money possible, I would say, you know, okay, cool. Go spend 4 years, but pick four different mentors. Go work for free for 4 years. 4 years, you'll save $100,000, and you'll know so much. Like, you know, go find four good mentors. You're going to learn a lot more in college, and save $100,000. And, I mean, a lot of people say, like, oh, you won't get the social aspects. Like, it'll be different. But you'll be meeting a lot of people through your network, and you probably have a way better network doing something like that. But I'm not saying don't go to college. If I went back to college, I would basically, if I was to do college again, I would probably do one of two things. One, I would probably pick a party school and just go have fun, and kind of work on learning and reading and business stuff on the side. Or two, I would have worked really hard in high school. To get into like a Stanford or something that would, a different level of college where, the colleges that most people go to are, the degree is essentially worthless, unless it's like a very specific, like engineer or like something like that, where if you get a general business degree and you went to like a mediocre college, like that's a very worthless degree, in my opinion.
You know, the richest guy I know went to Virginia Tech and got a shitty degree, but he'll say it all came from working afterwards.
Right.
And he has an interesting phase because he made a lot of money, lost it all, and then in his mid late 30s, like, became gigantor. But Daniel, you got something to say?
Yeah, kind of with that last bit about high school, because I was just wondering, like, as you
I'm
going to
use this opportunity as a bathroom break. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go for it.
good luck finding it. So what kind of person were you, like, in high school? I was wondering that, like, how'd you get to where you are today?
I mean, I basically, you know, played sports, you know, did the normal stuff, but I started doing, you know, buying and selling sports card collections, like baseball card collections, stuff like that.
Is this before Pokemon?
I don't know.
Think for kids in the 90s.
Yeah, I never did Pokemon, so I'm not sure what stage that was, but yeah, basically just, you know, started buying and selling them, and so got into the, I guess, business doing that when I was probably 17.
Oh, was it your hobby first, or was it, like, purely a business?
Yeah, no, it was my hobby. So I just enjoyed collecting cards as a kid, you know, probably starting collecting cards at, you know, when I was 8 or 9, and then just had a bunch of cards, and then I think I sold, I ended up selling a bunch of them that I wasn't collecting anymore to a guy off, you know, eBay or wherever it was, and then a little while later, a collection came up for sale, and I bought the collection and sold him parts of it that I didn't want, the cards that, you know, baseball and football that I wasn't collecting, and like what he gave me was double what I paid for the collection, and I got free cards, and so then I realized, wow, I could just, you know, essentially arbitrage, you know, sports cards, and so I just kept doing that. I would go buy a collection, and basically sell it off to people who wanted specific parts of the collections.
Okay, and what was your sport in high school? Was it baseball?
Basketball and soccer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Soccer. What's your favorite soccer team?
I don't follow soccer at all. My brother does all the time, but yeah, I just played it.
Oh, were you the oldest?
No, I was the middle. I had a younger brother and an older sister.
All right, cool. Well, I know you got to get back to work because you were saying like you had to do a call at 9:30. Oh, it's 9:41.
Yeah, nothing. No specific time, so I'll call him after.
What would you say is like the most important thing of advice that you could give guys who just want to get into business? Or, you know, just, I know a lot of people that know a lot of information, but they're not taking action.
I mean, the easiest thing to do would just go find a couple sources of information that you know is good information, whether it's a blog or a book, and read it and understand everything about it. And then, you know, if you put in the work, you know, maybe ask, you know, the author of a book you like or a blog you like, go ask them some specific questions if you need answers. You know, don't waste their time, obviously, but, you know, ask them, you know, one or two, something that can be answered in like one or two sentences. So, you know, do your homework, answer it in a short, ask it in a short question, go ask it. And then, you know, the way it works is you'll learn a little bit, and whatever advice you get from reading and then maybe asking some questions will give you enough information to go learn a little more. And you know, as you start taking action and you know, find something that people need, right? Think about, you know, what are people struggling with? What are people, you know, lots of times it's easier in your own life to find them. For example, in e-commerce stores, I was, you know, I knew there was a need because I was in the business. It's a lot easier to find needs once you're actually in the game with something. So maybe you're, you know, maybe you're in real estate and you see all sorts of, you know, services or products that, you know, the real estate community could need or whatever it is you do, just think and look around on a daily basis on what are people struggling with? Like, what are people saying that they need help with? And, you know, just figure out a way to offer it in a way that's, you know, again, back to the offer of, if you offered this, you know, you want people to say like, wow, that'd be stupid if I didn't buy it. I mean, create a situation like that where it's, the offer is so good, and obviously it takes time and takes work, but, just look around and learn, and you know, if you learn the right way to think, it's a lot easier to spot opportunities.
And I hate to say it, one more question, because I just thought of it. You always say, like, focus on one thing and not multiple things. Like, you have posts on it. That's a general theme that you kind of believe in. When it comes to communication, you chose a blog. You chose a written blog.
Yeah.
And that's probably a less popular medium of communication than, let's say, YouTube or podcast, video blog, stuff like that, product. Why did you choose a blog?
Honestly, I don't. I've thought about switching my blog over to, you know, YouTube or doing something else like podcasting. I haven't done it yet. I'm not sure. I just, you know, figured I had some content that I'd worked on a while ago and just kind of, you know, turned it into blog posts. So no specific reason why I turned it into a blog. But yeah, on your point of like, focusing on one thing, I think a lot of people try and you know, start 10 businesses at once and
and
they all fail. And it's, you know, if you think about it, the post I wrote was like entrepreneurial diversification. So basically everyone who tries to start 10 businesses at once or, you know, a couple businesses or whatever, you know, X percent of their effort are going towards one business. So if you start 10 businesses, you're probably spending 10% on each business. So, you know, instead of spending 100%, so it's either going to take you 10 times as long or you'll fail, you know, 10 times as much because you're not putting any effort there. So especially for people that are just starting, like you don't know, you know, a lot of people think the strategy is, you know, you don't know how to start one business yet, one successful business. So, you know, a lot of people start 10 crappy businesses and they call it diversification. And it's like, you don't know how to do it yet. And so you're not diversifying anything. You're just starting 10 crappy sites. And so it's, you know, I think especially early in the game, you have to start one because of the learning phase, you have to learn how to do it. And then after that, after you set it up and you can set it up in like a 4-hour work week format, after you scale it and build it into a real business, then you can start something else.
But I'd even say if you are starting a business, like with your blog, you're focusing on the writing. Like you're not focusing on the writing and a podcast or the writing and like video stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, I would love to start a podcast. But yeah, it's just not, if I start a podcast, then I probably don't have time to write a good blog or vice versa. If I just blog and try to throw up a podcast from time to time, I mean, it's not going to be a very good podcast because I'm not really focusing on it. So I'd have to have, you know, the time to do it. And, it's tough to try and do everything well. If I tried to do a podcast, a YouTube channel, a blog, you know, seminars, I mean, it would, you know, all of them would suffer because I'm not really trying to be really good at any of them.
Good stuff, man. I'm good. If you're good.
Yeah.
You good, Daniel?
Yeah.
ForeverJobless.com. What else?
Ecom Labs, the new one. Ecom Lab with 1M .com. That's where we're going to probably, by the time this airs, I guess that'll be up and live, and we'll be helping people start e-commerce stores.
Badass stuff. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to push the stop button.
Ooh, thanks for having me.
And what can I say? Steve Biter here again. You've been hearing me talking to Bill Murphy. And, go to thesexuallife.com, check him out at foreverjobless.com, and enjoy your day. Thanks for listening. It's okay to press stop now.